Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. Presented by Brakes Plus. This goes back to one of our discussions earlier today, and this question comes in from Basketball Jones.
Nice.
You gotta love somebody who says sincerely Basketball Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, does Nikola Jokic have to outplay the Greek Freak tonight in order to be able to win the MVP?
Tonight?
Tonight.
No. Would it help? Yes. I told you earlier in the program, like, being loud, having some slams, like having some slam dunks, right? Spinning, catching somebody on your back elbow with a little ninja spin and slamming it home. That's what makes the highlight reel. And ultimately, that's what people remember. And so does it help if the Joker outplays the Greek Freak tonight in the MVP race? Absolutely it does. But here's the issue. Like, I've been involved in television for 22 years. I know exactly how the kids in highlights cut the highlights. Because it's, you know, it's a bunch of kids in there. I know exactly how it works, man. Like, the louder you are, you have a great layup or a slam dunk or those things make highlight reels. And the Greek Freak and the Joker can go toe to toe. And even if the Joker outscores him by, you know, let's say the Greek Freak has 27, the Joker has 34. The Greek Freak has, you know, 9 rebounds. The Joker has 12. The Greek Freak has 7 assists, and the Joker has 10. Okay? If the Greek Freak is louder with a couple of slams and everything, he'll have more highlights in that package than the triple-double of the Joker. Now, the triple-double will get mentioned, and even if the Nuggets win, it'll get mentioned. But you know what will get the highlight, the lion's share of the highlights? The loud plays. Because you know what's easier? It is easier for the fans to see, and the highlight that the kids in highlights to cut loud plays. It's easy. And I'm telling you, it's much easier to assess athleticism. This is why the combine is such a crapshoot. It's so much easier to go, hey, look, guy's a great athlete. Now it's up to you, coaches. Figure it out. It's so much easier to evaluate a guy that way. It's so much easier to see athleticism on a court than it is skill. Skill, you have to have some level of knowledge, some deeper level of knowledge of the actual game. So when you watch the Joker in the post with his footwork and then getting up, you know, some dipsy doodle right off the glass, like, that doesn't make a highlight reel. But that is so much more skillful than jumping over a dude and slamming. But you know what makes the highlight reel? Jumping over a dude and slamming. You understand what I'm saying? So the Joker can completely outplay Giannis, but if Giannis has more loud plays, Giannis takes one step closer to winning an MVP than the Joker does. It's just the way television works. Sorry, is it fair? Nope, it's not. But it's the way it works.
That's too bad. And I'm not disagreeing with you because you've sat in on these meetings. You've sat in
I've watched them cut highlights.
You've watched cut highlights.
I've been in the room. I've actually helped cut highlights. No, man. Let's get to this. I know exactly how TV works. Who do we talk about? Like, if we're doing a national, if I'm doing a national show on the NFL, who am I talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about Mahomes. I'm talking about Brady.
Talking about the Cowboys, regardless of what their record is.
Talking about the Cowboys, right?
Right. Talking about Aaron Rodgers.
It's specific players or teams, yes.
That's how it works. And in the case of football, it's quarterbacks.
Sure.
And in the case of basketball, it's...
Yeah, I don't argue with you, but that's sad because there was a time where I think the beauty of the game, the IQ of the game was appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. Now, you're right, and that's too bad because Nikola Jokic's game is...
It is sublime.
It's sublime.
Brilliant. It really is.
It's brilliant on so many levels. And it's far more brilliant than, you know, just being able to take off from the foul line and dunk. It is so much more brilliant than that. But you're right. And that's too bad. But here's how you change the narrative. I mean, you change the narrative when you're in these kind of games against these media darlings.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do you outplay the other guy, but your team beats that team. That's how it's going to have to change.
By the way, here's Frankie. Frankie, thank you. I appreciate you. Frankie says that the Joker had two top tens last night on the SportsCenter top ten list. You know what they were? Both dunks. Yeah.
You made an interesting observation.
Right?
You think he's dunking more?
Absolutely. There is no question in my mind that he is trying to go up.
I think it's because he's in better shape and
maybe he's
actually a little bit more athletic this year.
Nope. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think he knows and he's been told, dude, like the other day, SportsCenter, I think it was First Take, had a list of four NBA players. Who's the best player in the NBA? Four players on that list. It was Harden. It was LeBron. It was two other. There were two other guys. Oh, it was Embiid, and it was
Harden.
Harden, LeBron, Embiid,
Giannis.
And Giannis.
Yeah.
Yeah, Giannis. Nowhere to be found was the Joker. And I'm telling you, as stupid as it is, and it's dumb, trust me, if you're not getting the highlights on SportsCenter, if you're not just rattling the rim, your chances of the American public seeing you is limited.
Then here's what he has to do, and here's what the Nuggets have to do. They have to become the next Spurs. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Spurs were so good, so great, that ESPN had no choice but to pay attention to them. They're winning championships.
Right.
And in the process of winning championships, people came to appreciate Tim Duncan's game, the big fundamental, right?
Yeah.
I mean, his game's even less splashier than Jokic's.
Correct.
I mean, his game was more boring than even Jokic's. So that's the simple answer. I mean, we could complain all we want. And we could talk about, you know, how kids cut up highlights and stuff. The answer to the question is simple. You gotta become the new Spurs.
All right. You gotta become relevant in the West Coast window. Right?
Oh, even more than that. You just gotta be playing playing for championships and winning championships.
But you played,
it's simple as that.
You played in conference finals last year. You have to become.
And you got blown out by the Lakers.
I understand that, but you have to become relevant in the West Coast window. I'm talking how TV drives things, Mike. So, and I told you this several years ago, 2018, had dinner with the main schedule maker, who said, we got a real horrible problem in the 4 o'clock window, which is our game time, 2 o'clock mountain, in the 4 o'clock window, because since the time Mr. Bolin bought the Broncos were guaranteed ratings in the 4 o'clock window. We can't put them in the window anymore. we can't guarantee a rating for the network anymore in that 4 o'clock window. There used to be a reason why the Broncos were on every national game, why you guys learned to hate Phil Sims. Right? You learned to hate Phil Sims.
With a red-hot passion.
Right. Because they were the number one team, CBS, and you always were wondering why Phil Sims had so many Bronco games. Why? Because there was a guaranteed rating. They were must-watch television in the Shanahan days and in the Elway days, you know, before Shanahan got here. But for 20-plus years, they were a guaranteed rating. They're not anymore. That's just the reality of how television works. And you know what ends up happening to you when you fall out of those? They look for, like, you know how you make, the 425 window? If you're the Broncos, when the Saints come to town, when the Bills come to town, when the Tampa Bay Bucks come to town, that's when you get in that window. You don't get in that window when the Chargers are in town. Here, God forbid I'm going to say this. You don't get in that window when the Raiders come to town. You're both not relevant. Do you see what, do you understand? You get in that window when Kansas City comes to town. Why? Because Kansas City is now taking over that spot in that window. So this is just how television affects how people view your product. It has so much to do. This 17-game schedule is going to be guaranteed as soon as the first network inks that new deal. Because it's incumbent upon the new deal to be inked. It only takes one.
Yep.
So whether it's, you know, ESPN, ABC inking the Monday night contract, or Fox inking the Sunday NFC deal, or CBS, or whoever, as soon as that first one gets inked, guess what? Automatic 17-game schedule happens.
Yep. And by the way, we're not stopping at 17. This is just a mere pit stop on the way to 18, you know. You know it.
Sure.
It's coming.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful. Who has a problem with that? Who has a problem with that? More football. Because what did we learn this year? You know what? Football on a Tuesday is cool. Football on a Wednesday works. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? Do you know when Christmas falls this year?
No.
Have you heard about this? This is going to be fun to watch. This is going to be fascinating. Christmas 2021. Is on a Saturday.
Christmas 2021?
Mm-hmm. This year. Christmas,
this year?
This is on a Saturday. You know what the NFL is going to do?
Oh, they're have a whole slate of Christmas
They're going to put two or three games on.
Destroy the NBA.
And destroy the NBA. You know why? Because they can.
Yeah, sure. Mrs. Schlereth is not going to be happy.
Just for funsies, they're just going to say, you know what? We're going to do it because we can.
Mrs. S is not going to be happy. Well, we can postpone a day after Christmas, can't we? We'll come home Christmas night. I'm calling a game.
Are you sure you'll be doing a... Oh, look at you. You're pretty confident you'll get a Saturday game, huh? Why wouldn't you just be doing Sunday game?
Oh, I just thought... Yeah, you don't said the they would all be on.
Won't the Cardinals and Panthers play on Sunday?
Oh, what a Richard 9. Wow. Wow. Wow, that cut me to the quick right there. That was, you know, hey, listen. Okay, I deserve it. Do I make fun of your sausage fingers in your head all the time?
Right, yes, I do.
Well, regardless whether I'm Monday or whether I'm doing a Saturday or a Sunday game, right? I'm going to be gone.
Right.
What a Richard. Man. Gosh. I'm sure there are a lot of people in the text line that were like, bravo, Mike. Bravo. I hate him.
Way to knock him down a peg.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Let me look at the Panthers' schedule of opponents this year. What's shaping up as a good Sunday, December 26 game for them? All right, let's get to the more text here. Mark's fuming right now. Evans, what I'm hearing is you're not positive we missed on Drew Lock. Do we have a consensus answer as to whether they've missed on Lock throughout the studio? Thanks for considering the discussion. Well, I'll let the other shows take that if they want, but I'm not convinced that they've completely missed on Lock. I mean, there's plenty of examples of quarterbacks who take a couple years before they start to figure it out. Heck, I mean, there are quarterbacks who seemingly have it all figured out after year one or year two, and then they regress. Hello, Jared Goff. Hello, Carson Wentz. So, here's what I know about Drew Lock. Does he have an NFL caliber arm? Yes. Has he shown an ability to make NFL caliber throws? Yes. Does he have NFL caliber quarterback mobility? Yes. Now, can he make the step, make the leap in those other areas, the more cerebral part of playing quarterback? That for some quarterbacks takes time.
Right.
I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm willing to give him a chance to show he can do it. Rather than throwing the baby out with the bathwater and starting all over again.
How many times have we seen, I mean, you know, you and I, we've talked to Rich Gannon about his process, how long it took him to kind of figure it out, and he became an MVP caliber quarterback. Jim Plunkett in New England as a first round pick really didn't find success until he, you know, was kicked to the curb and went to the Raiders. Ryan Tannehill was benched and thrown out in Miami, went to Tennessee, sat on the bench for about 6-8 games until, you know, Marcus Mariota was considered no good anymore. Now all of a sudden Marcus Mariota spends a year in rehab with Oakland, and he becomes a little bit more of a hot commodity. I mean, there are a lot of reclamation projects, guys who weren't considered great. They got a second opportunity and, you know, succeeded. So there are plenty of those guys, Mike. And let's face it, it's really hard to have any level of success as a quarterback when you have been in a different system every year that you've played since college. It's a really hard thing to do. So, you know, hey, would you like, if Deshaun Watson fell in your lap, right, or Russell Wilson fell in your lap, or, you know, or you thought Zach Wilson was Zach Wilson's a can't miss prospect and he fell to number 9. Would you make a move? Absolutely. Of course you would. Right? Hey man, if I'm playing and I'm in my prime and I'm playing great football and all of a sudden, Hall of Famer Will Shields comes available and they take him and replace me? Do I understand? Am I pissed? Yeah. Do I understand it? Absolutely. I watched the film. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm not going to throw Drew Lock completely out. Do I think he's the guy going forward? Like if I had to put money on, does he succeed or does he fail? Like, those are my only two choices. I'd put the money on the failure side. But I would have put the money on the failure side on Garrett Bowles for 3 straight years. And the transition that he made or the turnaround he made was incredible. Good on him. So it happens. It does happen. We'll see. Like, if one of those guys falls into your lap, then great. But if it doesn't, and by the way, it's not going to before the draft, you're going to have to go through free agency first. So you better make that your plan going forward and then hope, you know, I know hope's not a strategy, as Troy Rank always says, but then you hope that
something better becomes available, but at least you've prepared yourself to go down the road and to build your roster and to get a veteran quarterback in here to not only mentor but compete, because I think competition at every position is important. And then you see what happens come draft day.
Yeah. Texter says, Evans, you're looking for a science to drafting a player, and there just is none. You're right. Hey, look, I've been the champion for 20 years of saying the draft is a crapshoot. The draft is a 50-50 proposition. But here's ultimately what you have to trust if you're a fan of a team. Your team has a front office. Your team has scouts. Your team has evaluators. They go out. They evaluate all these players. They put their big board together. They have all their grades. The part that bothers me about the reaching for quarterbacks in the first round is you are reaching for a quarterback that has a lesser grade than
everybody else on your board.
Everybody else on your board.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact. Jeff Legwall does an outstanding job. I highly recommend you not only get ready for it, because he'll come out with it for this year's draft, but he's done it for years now. Go back. You can look him up. And he puts his top 50 players for the draft together every single year. And it's based all, it's not just him just randomly putting 50 guys. It's based on exhaustive reporting and talking to GMs and scouts and evaluators. And he puts a board together. And
he is kind of his own scout. Leggy has researched this stuff. He's scouted. He's worked for different organizations when it comes to evaluating players. He's learned from some of the best evaluators in football. So Leggy does a great job with all that stuff.
And what you'll find when you look at his top 50, which is a mirror, a representation of what evaluators around the league are putting together, is very few quarterbacks are in that top 50 list.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not in the top 20.
Right.
Very few over the last decade plus make the top 20.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is that you're right. It is a crapshoot, but you go about, you put your grades together, you do all your due diligence, and I've heard this so many times over the years. Whenever we talk about, well, you got to draft for need. No, you don't. People are always like, you got to take the best player available. How many times have you heard somebody say, you got to draft the best player available?
Mm-hmm.
Don't get caught up in needs, because then you'll pass on a better player. Take the best player available. Well, that's how these teams prepare for the draft. So is it an exact science? No. But if I am going to rely on something, if I'm going to put together a whole front office and scouts and college cross-checkers and a Midwest scout and a West Coast scout, and they all come back to me with this information, and I put together our big board, and it's all based, that's as close as I can come to an exact science, right?
Yeah.
Then why am I going to turn my back on that?
Right. Well, I think the philosophy, it's interesting that you bring it up.
To reach for somebody who doesn't have nearly as good a grade.
Because you know, everybody has bought into, if you don't have an elite quarterback, right? If you don't have an elite quarterback, and I am more of the, hey, like, an elite quarterback isn't winning championships without a really good roster. I mean, and again, go back to 2018, 6-9-1. Quarterback of that team, Aaron Rodgers. Last year, 4-12. Quarterback of that team, Deshaun Watson. I mean, you can go through a lot of situations. Drew Brees had 3 7-9 seasons in a row. He's not an elite quarterback, and that was back when he was still in his prime. Every year putting up 5,000 yards and a bunch of touchdowns. I'm just telling you, that's the way the league really operates. And Mike, you go back to, people always say best player available. They say that until it's time to pick. And then you know what they go? Who's the best player available at our position of need? Then they run up to the table and put in their pick. Because they can't adhere to that philosophy. So.
Yeah, so to the texter's point, you're right. Is there an exact science? Nope. But I think that
some teams are a lot better than others.
Exactly. And I think that there is a way of doing it that gives you a better than 50-50 chance.
Mm-hmm.
Of making it better than just being a 50-50 crapshoot. So,
agreed.
Okay, some more of your texts coming up. More on the Jokic MVP. We're getting a lot of reaction to that. I love it.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Should the Broncos.
Got a texter saying, hey, why don't you list all the AFC Super Bowl winning quarterbacks over the last 20 years? Yes, you need an elite quarterback.
All right, you want to play that game? All right, we can play that game. Tom Brady was the 6th round pick. Joe Flacco, you want to call him elite? Okay, you go right ahead. Peyton Manning won here. When he was no longer an elite quarterback. That year he wasn't an elite quarterback. Let's see, other AFC quarterbacks. Ben Roethlisberger, elite quarterback. Yep, certainly. Wasn't taken in the top five, wasn't taken in the top ten.
By the way, he should have been the Super Bowl MVP when they beat Arizona. They gave that to Santonio Holmes, right? But Roethlisberger was phenomenal in that game. But remember, the first Super Bowl win, Super Bowl 40 against Seattle, Roethlisberger was awful.
Awful. Remember Bill Cowher coming out at halftime? We got to find a way to settle down our quarterback.
Yeah, he was awful in that game. But yeah, he was young. Yeah. I mean,
but he wasn't elite.
No, not at all. He wasn't even close to elite at that point.
No. Tom Brady wasn't elite in the first three Super Bowls that New England won.
Yeah, they had a great defense. They had great. I mean, they won. They won because
you want to talk about
team and roster.
Roster, yeah. The first three New England Super Bowls were roster building. And we're going back 20 years. All right, that falls within the window of Trent Dilfer. Everybody,
hello,
elite.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
That's 100% true.
So now the question is, are we talking about winning Super Bowls? Because I think if you're talking about winning Super Bowls, then I think we've proven over the last several years that you don't need to have an elite quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
That Trent Dilfer Super Bowl that was won was one of the greatest defenses in the history of football. The Tampa Bay Super Bowl that was won by Brad Johnson. There's an elite quarterback for you. One of the great defenses in the history of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Eli Manning's not an elite quarterback. Won two Super Bowls. Peyton Manning was not an elite quarterback the year that he won his second Super Bowl. Nick Foles, not an elite quarterback.
Now, the majority of you people right now that are texting us have been writing Brady's obituary for the last 7 years. Now all of a sudden he's elite. Last year he couldn't play anymore. Told you! Ha ha! It was Belichick the whole time!
Absolutely.
Now all of a sudden it's Brady, right?
Oh, now here we're dancing around. Peyton Manning was always mentally elite. Okay. Well, he's still mentally elite. Why isn't he playing quarterback in the NFL anymore? I guarantee you Peyton Manning could walk in and be more mentally elite than
99% of the quarterbacks playing right now.
But he's not playing right now. Why?
But you can't play on telepathy.
Right. That's right.
Right.
Let me stop it. I bet Joe Montana right now is more mentally elite than 80% of the quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
By the way, why did Brady?
That's a weak text.
Right, like, I got one. Tampa Bay won because of the QB. Yeah, because the QB didn't throw 30 picks and turn it over 39 times this year like he did last year when Jameis Winston was there. Let me ask you, why do you think Brady Because he was a free agent. Why do you think Brady chose Tampa? Why do you think? Because, why do you think he chose Tampa Bay? Why do you think Brady?
He saw a roster ready to win. He
saw a roster that could win a championship.
Why do you think Peyton Manning chose the Broncos? He saw a team that went 8-8, was 8-5 at one point with Tim freaking Tebow. He's like, geez, if that team with Tim Tebow a quarterback can be 8-5 at one point and beat the Steelers in a playoff game, imagine what I can do there.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
He was right.
Sorry about that.
Let's see. Let's get to some more of your wonderful texts here. Wonderful texts. Let's see. Oh, so, Mark, one text says, Mark, am I hearing right? You want the Broncos to go after Zach Wilson. Boy, everyone's loving Zach Wilson right now. All right, do you want him to go after Zach Wilson? If the asking price is a one this year, well, swapping ones.
Mm-hmm.
And what? I mean, to like, move up?
Hold on. I need some Afternoon Music.
Benny?
Love this.
All right, so when the Bears moved up one spot with the 49ers.
Okay. They swapped. And what else?
And they also gave up a third and a fourth rounder that year and a third round pick the next year.
So if you swap and give up, let's call it a...
Now to move from 9-2.
9-2. So let's say you swap those picks and then and you give up a second rounder this year and...
And you'll be giving up, you'll have to give up another first rounder.
You think another first rounder?
Yes, I do.
So you would give up, you swap and then give up next year's first rounder?
Yeah, would you do it?
All right, again, would I do that? If I'm George Payton and I've studied everything there is to study and I believe that Zach Wilson is my guy, absolutely. Without hesitation, I would.
Yeah, of course. If you've got a Andy Reid locked on Patrick Mahomes because I see Brett Favre type qualities and I coach Brett Favre and I see him right there based on my own. Yeah, I get that. But you've told me many times how most of these quarterback picks are made with the idea that we're hoping. We're not really sure. Now, if you can tell me that George Payton really only has eyes on one guy and he loves that guy and he is absolutely convinced that this guy is going to buck the trend of the last several years when it comes to taking a quarterback that high. Yeah, I mean, if he feels that way, go for it, man. But it can't be the idea of, well, okay, if I don't get this guy, then I'll take this guy.
Right.
You can't be in love with more than one guy. That's you just dumb.
You cannot tell me if you're George Payton, hey, listen, we're going to move up to two and get Zach Wilson because I love him. But if the asking price is too high, I love Mac Jones or Trey Lance, whoever happens to be available.
That's wrong.
That's, you know what that is? And here's the problem with D-Mac's theory. You know what that is, Mike? That is kick the can down the road. Hey, you know what? That's not doing your job.
Look, I can respect.
That to me is what
that
is.
By the way, and for all the debates that we have when it comes to drafting a quarterback in the first round, I can respect Tyler Palumbus because he's saying one guy. This is the guy.
Right.
That's his guy. That's it. Fine.
Yeah.
I can respect that. I'm sorry, D-Mac. It's just the idea that, well, if not this guy, then that guy. And if not that guy, then that guy.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that just take a pool of two, three, four, five quarterbacks and just right. take one. That's
whoever happens to be there when you pick, as long as a first rounder or in the, as long as you take them the first rounder, then
that's
you're okay.
It. That's factually based on history. That's wrong. Logically speaking, that's wrong. It's lazy. It's a lazy approach to taking quarterbacks. It's a lazy, desperate right. approach to taking quarterbacks.
That's well, auto draft in fantasy.
If not this guy, then that guy. I can respect Tyler saying, hey, I've looked at him and this is the guy. And let me tell you why. And if I can't get him, there's nobody else that I'm interested in. I can respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But this, if not him, then him.
Right.
If not him and him, then him. Weak. Weak.
And by the way, for the texter who says, you can't be in love with Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence is off the board.
Yeah, we're not counting him in this conversation.
He's off the board.
We're not counting him. This is a Trevor Lawrence-free discussion, okay?
All right, you're talking about the rest
right.
of the QBs.
Correct. 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 Okay, we'll get some more of your texts. Also, did we see more evidence last night why we just can't trust the Avalanche when it comes to winning a cup? That's next. All right. So last night we saw the Nuggets win.
Yes,
and you know
we
what?
Did.
And slowly but surely, Our guy Michael Malone.
Michael Malone.
Forget we're not in love anymore. I keep forget things will never be the same again.
Yeah, I just wish that. Yeah, it's funny because you know we spend a lot of time talking about the Broncos, but it's so funny because whenever we do talk about the Nuggets and the Avalanche and the Rockies, we're always right, and have been for the last several years. So what did we say? Once you, this offseason, did not go out and make a move for a proven third scorer,
mm-hmm.
and that the thing that's keeping the Nuggets from being a legitimate NBA championship contender is until they find that third guy to go with Jokic and Murray, they'll never be a championship contender. And that once they did not go out and address that during the offseason, you had to go all in with Michael Porter Jr. You had to ride with him, right? For better or for worse. And he was really reluctant to do that for a long, long time. But what's been happening lately? He's playing MPJ. And what is starting to emerge now? It's starting to become consistent. It's clear who your three best players are. And when those three players play well, as Michael Porter Jr. starting to string together some consistent games, this starts to look like a different team. Huh. Hmm. But boy, last night.
Would you still like to trade Michael Porter Jr. if you could get...
Absolutely. Boy, his talent is...
Yes!
His talent is intriguing.
What was the trade out? What was it? Bradley Beal out there?
I know. But man. And the trade deadline, you still got some time before the trade deadline. That's why I would play Michael Porter Jr. 35, 40 minutes every night. So you can really get a sense of if this guy can be that third guy.
He's tall.
He is tall.
He's a tall guy.
He is. That is 100% true.
But boy, those two, Murray and Jokic, when they're
two dudes.
They are two dudes.
Yeah.
Coach Adasio.
Ultimate dudes.
They are ultimate dudes. Boy, you saw it last night. 89-89 going into the fourth quarter. They win the game. They score 29 points in the fourth quarter, 25 scored by Murray and Jokic. 17 from the Joker, 8 by Murray. 25 out of 29. That's what big time players do.
That's right.
Now, conversely, the Avalanche had a 2-0 lead. They lose 6-2. Now, I know what Avs man is going to say. Well, we were without the three defensemen. Yes, you were, but you were good enough to build a 2-0 lead. And if you saw the way that that game turned, it wasn't because they just gave it up defensively with their defensemen. Their veteran, their high-priced forwards did a terrible job of turning the puck over, not hustling back to keep Sharks players from crashing the net. Gave up 5 unanswered goals. Unacceptable. I don't care who's out on the ice. Who's missing?
Didn't lean on people. Didn't play physical. Didn't put bodies on people in front of the net.
And on a night like that, when you need your goaltender to be extraordinary, yes. Philip Grubauer. And again, it's I have two concerns when it comes to this team being able to win a Stanley Cup. One, as talented as their defensemen are, do their young offensive-minded defensemen, can they shut down games defensively, just as defensemen? And Grubauer, is he the goalie that's going to carry you to a Stanley Cup? I have my doubts.
When you need your goalie, when you're down 3 defensemen, when you need your goalie to be just spectacular, he wasn't. Couple big rebounds. I get it. Isn't there something missing? I feel like there's something missing when it comes to the Avs. Does it feel that way to you?
I'm still giving them the benefit of the doubt that they're still kind of trying to figure out the way this season is. There's a lot of feeling out going on with the way the schedule is. You have guys, all of a sudden guys are out for COVID. Your team misses gets a couple of games shut down for COVID. I know it sounds like excuse making. It just is a wonky season right now. And I think that a lot of teams are still trying to figure it out. But I think that this team, once you get into the playoffs, they're so dangerous, Mark. They're just so dangerous. It's why I still think they have they still represent this town's best chance to win a championship.
I agree. Just from a pure talent standpoint, there's no question about that. Everybody's dealing with the season. It affects everybody the same.
I know. That's why I said it sounds like an excuse. But last one. You guys are spinning this whole elite quarterback thing to fit your narrative, and you sound silly. I don't know. I think you're, Texter, trying to spin your own narrative about trying to diminish the idea of roster building. And if we're talking about Super Bowl champions over the last several years, you don't want to admit the fact that there are plenty of examples of teams that had outstanding rosters.
I think
with quarterbacks that nobody is going to be confusing with being elite quarterbacks. The Giants won 2 Super Bowls because of roster building. Baltimore won 2 Super Bowls in the last 20 years with roster building. Patriots first 3 Super Bowls. Clearly, we're roster building.
Let me ask you this. Who's more of an elite quarterback, Russell Wilson or Jared Goff?
Russell Wilson.
Who won that playoff game? Between the Seahawks and the Rams.
A very badly injured, banged up Jared Goff.
Right. Why? Because they dominated the line of scrimmage. They ran the heck out of the football. And they dominated the defensive line of scrimmage. Again, I'll point to the playoffs, the entirety of the playoffs. Show me the team that dominated the physical matchup on both lines of scrimmage. I'll show you the team that won every game. Pretty simple. Regardless of who the quarterback was. Now, did all the teams get there because they had good quarterback? Yeah, you gotta have, listen, man, I'm not gonna deny that you've gotta have a good quarterback. But people think that if you just plug in any good quarterback, they will make any roster great. No, that's not how it works. So that's all. Got to have both. Understand it's hard.
Yeah, it is.
Life
hard.
Is hard.
Life is hard. You're right. Building a really good roster is hard.
Yeah. It is.
It's so much easier just to say, we got the quarterback, makes it all better.
Right.
Not always as simple as that. All right. We're done. Thank you for the text. We love fighting with you.
Yes.
We enjoy it. We thank you, and we'll do it all again tomorrow. We got Sandy and the Big O. They're coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.